First of all, Representative Lummis, when we talk about this health care bill that passed yesterday in the House, obviously by a small margin, but nevertheless passing, can you tell us a little bit about, you were talking in your statement about taxes associated with this bill, and we haven't heard a lot on that end about it. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
There are 20 new taxes in this bill, and one of them involves a penalty for married couples. In other words, higher taxes for married couples than couples who are unmarried. So some of the taxes include a Cadillac tax on high-cost health care plans, Medicare tax on wages and self-employment, an employer mandate tax, an annual tax on health insurance providers, annual tax on drug manufacturers. The list goes on and on.
And, of course, for some of those for business, they'll be passed on to their consumers.
Oh, definitely. And for individuals, there's even an additional capital gains tax. So if you sell your property, you're going to pay 3.8% more on the sale of property. So this is going to be a substantial tax increase for the American people, more than $500 billion over 10 years. And among the disappointing things about that are that President Obama broke his promise on not taxing those making $200,000 or less. There are definitely taxes in this bill that are going to affect people who are in the middle class. So among the many promises that were broken in this bill, that is one.
We've heard that the benefits don't kick in till 2014, I believe. When do these taxes kick in?
Some of the taxes begin to kick in next year, so they'll start showing up on your April tax return, some of them perhaps even sooner.
Okay. I know that, let's talk a little bit about what critics say and to what you guys were standing for on the Republican side of the aisle, and one of them was on the pre-existing conditions. Can you tell me a little bit about that, and why wouldn't that be a good thing?
Well, there are some good things in this bill. Helping people who have pre-existing conditions is one of them. Allowing adults to keep their adult children up to age 26 on their current health care insurance policies is another good thing. But the bad things in this bill outweigh the good things. For example, $87 billion in new Medicare payroll taxes. That hurts small business, and that hurts job growth. Also, the $500 billion in cuts out of Medicare, when that money should be used to make sure that doctors are still willing to take Medicare patients. One of the problems in Wyoming is that physicians are losing money every time a Medicare patient walks in their door. That's because they are not reimbursed for the full cost of providing service to Medicare patients. The money that's going to be taken out of Medicare under this bill is going to create a whole new entitlement, not to fix Medicare. So the problems in Medicare remain. And furthermore, we know that up to 35% of doctors are contemplating leaving the practice of medicine if these provisions take effect. So the problems that this bill could create for access to physicians in Wyoming are substantial. That's the part I'm really the most worried about right now as far as its effect on Wyoming over the long run. Will we still have access to doctors in Wyoming regardless of what it costs?
Do you believe the CBO numbers that says that this piece of legislation actually reduces the deficit over 10 years?
I do not believe those numbers because the way that CBO works is they evaluate legislation based on the criteria that you give them. So if you give them fantasy criteria, you get fantasy numbers out. And it is my opinion that that's what happened here. They were given pie-in-the-sky numbers to begin with. So when they crunched those numbers, they came out with a fantasy result.
Is there an exemption for small businesses for 50 or less people in terms of some sort of tax breaks?
Well, there are some tax breaks in the stimulus bill that passed last year that are taking effect now. And as I understand it, within this bill, there may be some people who get some relief while others don't. For example, the Cadillac tax has, during certain iterations of this bill, applied to high-cost plans except for those that are held by unions. Now, that now may be out of the bill because this bill keeps changing. Remember, what we voted on was the bill that passed the Senate on Christmas Eve, not the bill that passed the House, and they are substantially different. And so one of the problems in the House during this whole debate was trying to get our arms around what is different about the House and Senate bills. One thing is for sure, what's called the doc fix is not in here. The doc fix is going to cost an extra $200 billion, in fact, more than that, when added to the CBO numbers will actually raise the deficit. So the doc fix is the money that is needed to make sure that they are made whole when they take a Medicare patient. So we're still evaluating. We're still trying to figure out, quite frankly, what's in the bill. Just like Nancy Pelosi said week before last, you have to pass the bill before you'll know what's in the bill. The irony of that sad statement is it was true. So now that it has passed, we're scrambling to find out what's in it.
Well, did anybody know what was in it besides maybe Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer and a couple others?
Well, I think that the senators have a better handle on what's in this bill. But it came to the Budget Committee just a week ago today, and that's when really the whole debate started. And then we finally got the bill rather than just a fictitious bill. We finally got the real bill on Friday, and then it passed on Sunday. So, see, that's not enough time to evaluate a 2,700-page bill plus amendments for anybody, especially, though, when you consider that this bill affects one-sixth of the economy. You know, I hear the debate that the argument that people make that, well, you've had a whole year to discuss this. You ought to know what's in the bill. The problem is we're debating concepts. We're not seeing the legislation in its final form until 72 hours before we're voting on it. And that includes round-the-clock hours. And you can't stay up 72 straight hours to figure out what's in a bill that's going to affect one-sixth of the economy. So what I'm telling you is what we know about it now. And now that it has passed the House and goes to the President tomorrow for his signature, the Senate will have to decide whether they want to continue work on it. And then we'll have to figure out what's in it that needs to be fixed. So I can imagine that there will be amendments to this new law during this Congress as it goes forward, because we've passed a bill that, quite frankly, very few people have a complete grasp of.
Is it true that 15,000 IRS agents will have to be hired as a result of this legislation?
17,000
wow.
IRS agents will have to be hired at a cost of $10 billion. And the notion is that they will be making sure that Americans have government-approved health insurance.
Last question for you. It's amazing to me, and I know that a lot of people have brought this up on your side of the aisle, that people need to have health insurance as pretty much a prerequisite for citizenship. I mean, you look at I talked with the Democratic Party chairwoman here in the state just moments ago, and she says, well, everybody needs to be in the system so the premiums can keep low. If somebody opts out of it, then that would mean that those premiums would go higher. Do you see a scenario where employees are going to be caught in between if they're dropped from their employer coverage, that they're going to have to decide whether to be fined or whether to get on government rolls eventually?
Yes, I do see a scenario like that. In fact, we know that while the proponents of this bill say that 30 million Americans will be added to the insurance rolls. We also know that 10 million will be dropped from the insurance rolls as a consequence of this legislation. Now, where those 10 million will go remains to be seen, whether they will go to the exchange or whether they will go through an employer who goes to the exchange. I just don't know.
What are the fines?
There are fines in the Internal Revenue Code. I believe it's $2,250 for failure to have government-approved health insurance. And then if there are continued violations, additional fines and jail time can occur.
Yeah, you're looking at jail time for somebody not having health insurance. That's amazing.
And those are some of the things that will provoke constitutional challenges to this legislation. We know that 37 states are already preparing to challenge this legislation, and there may be more. And I'm assuming that one of the grounds of it is that a person can actually be penalized and put in jail for failing to purchase a product. That would be a first in America. You know, Tim, one of the interesting things about the debate over the weekend is as many times as people stood up to argue in favor of this bill, you didn't see the members from Maine or Massachusetts or Tennessee in particular espousing how great their state-based health care systems are. And that's generally because the state-based health care plans, TennCare, like they have in Tennessee, is driving the state into financial ruin. And there are problems in Maine, there are problems in Massachusetts with regard to its effect on the overall economies of those states. So we should be treading lightly going into this rather than jumping headlong. The Wyoming legislature just recently in the session passed some legislation that is based on a health savings account model that I would just love to see the state have an opportunity to implement and to test. And it may be the best idea out there, in which time, after it's proven, other states could adopt Wyoming's pioneering strategy using a health savings account model. That's how this should be occurring, is from the bottom up, from the states up, or I suppose realistically I should be saying from the top down, because the states really are the top of the heap when it comes to the manner in which our government was structured. It was intended that the states and the people would have the power and that the powers of the federal government would be limited. And this bill turns that concept upside down.
I got to let you go after this, but $2,250 you're saying is the fine?
As far as I know, that's what I have been told. But there again, we are fighting our way through this bill still, this bill that passed last night after we'd had about 72 hours to evaluate it. But the number that I was told is that the fine is $2,250. And okay. If I get a different number, Tim, I'll call you back.
Okay, the Attorney General of the state, has he made any indication whether he would challenge us in court?
Our Attorney General? Not that I've heard. I've not spoken to him, and I don't know whether Wyoming is one of those 37 states. I assume not. I assume that if we... If our Attorney General intended to sue, that we would have heard about it.
I know that Fox's map had Wyoming highlighted, but I left a message for Mr. Salzberg earlier today and have not heard back from him. So,
Your guess is as good as mine. This is a very fluid situation.
Yeah, it's all chaos is breaking loose. Well, hey, thanks, Representative Lummis. Do appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You take care. All right,
thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye.